Earlier this year, the police chief of Tacoma, Washington, shot and killed his wife in front of their two young children. Then he turned the gun on himself. The story follows a well-known pattern of domestic abuse. It is more complicated because he was a police officer, the top officer in a city of about 200,000. Experts say victims of domestic violence by police officers are especially vulnerable. As NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports, the systems intended to get rid of abusive police may make things worse for their victims.
Police Chief David Brame was a classic abuser. He controlled the money, where his wife Crystal went, and what the petite woman, 11 years his junior, did. They fought verbally at first, then things escalated. Crystal's father, Lane Judson, says that on one occasion this past February, the police chief cornered his wife in a closet and told her he wanted to teach her how to fire his gun.
She says, "What do I want to do that for, David?" This is her telling us. I don't need to know how to fire a gun. "Well, you might," he says. "You know, I'm not going to be around here." She says, "I'm not going to touch that gun and have you, my fingerprints get on it." She says, "I'm smarter than that." She said he pointed a gun at her and said, "Well, accidents happen."
That's when Crystal Brame decided to leave her husband. She had talked about leaving him years earlier, but told her parents that her husband had made it very difficult.
She says, "He has told me over and over again that he has laid the groundwork. If I ever try to leave him or divorce him, nobody's ever going to believe you."
Chief Brame apparently disparaged his wife and cast doubt on her mental state.
My daughter says, "What do I do? Who do I go to? I can't go to the police. He is the police."
Like so many other victims, Crystal Brame felt trapped. Experts on police-perpetrated domestic violence say that officers who abuse often try to discredit their victims, sometimes even calling 911 themselves, claiming that they are being victimized. There is little solid and reliable data about the incidence of domestic violence in the general population, and there is no comprehensive data relating to police officers. Still, there is evidence to suggest that law enforcement officials abuse in higher numbers. John Furman is research director for the IACP, the International Association of Chiefs of Police.
The victim of a police officer DV is the most vulnerable domestic violence victim in the world. They're dealing with a very savvy person who has huge, huge access to the criminal justice system and a level of power and authority and a level of freedom of movement that they don't enjoy.
It's more difficult for police victims to seek refuge at a shelter. Police officers know where they are, and many shelters won't accept police victims because of safety concerns. If the victim rents a car, gets on a plane, uses a credit card, a driver's license, or even a cell phone, the police officer can easily track that. The 1996 Lautenberg Amendment to the Federal Gun Control Act forced police departments to confront the issue of domestic violence within their ranks. The law says that anyone convicted of domestic violence, even a misdemeanor, cannot carry a gun. In other words, they can't be a cop. Diane Wettendorf, a longtime advocate for victims, says the law has had unintended consequences.
It's had a very chilling effect on the victims, because victims now are afraid to come forward. They know that it could cost them his job.
Wettendorf says many victims don't want that to happen because they love the individual, they need the financial benefits the position brings, or because they know that if the abuser loses his job, the violence could escalate. As police departments struggled with the implications of Lautenberg, the IACP developed a model policy for dealing with officer abuse. It addresses things like pre-hiring screening, better training, counseling, and more independent investigation of officers. It embraces a zero-tolerance policy and says that any officer who knows that a colleague is engaged in violence at home must notify a superior, and then says the IACP's John Furman,
specific things must happen. A written report must occur. You know, notification, conversation, a call to the victim, further discussion, referral to counseling, whatever has to happen, whatever is determined. But the bottom line is something is going to happen because that notification has put the policy in action.
In short, no sweeping allegations of abuse under the rug. Many major cities have adopted at least parts of this policy, but the police association says policies differ significantly across the country. But even the model policy has its limits. Much of it is directed at keeping a police department free of abusive cops. It doesn't always make the victims safer. In fact, victim advocate Wettendorf says the model policy, like the Lautenberg Amendment, can actually make matters worse.
The more seriously a department takes it and the more that they say that they are not going to tolerate this, the more afraid a woman is to report it.
It may sound like a catch-22. The problem is that women are most at risk when they report abuse or when they try to leave their abuser. Couple that with the possibility that the abuser might lose his job and the stakes get higher. Many times women who are abused recant their accusations. Often the investigation simply dies. But as Wettendorf notes, the model policy says that even if a victim recants, the investigation must proceed.
Once the victim makes that 911 call, she has no way to back out of the process.
Recognizing the perils, the Chicago Police Department has done the most to ensure the safety of victims while at the same time stopping domestic violence. While a few other cities have separate domestic violence units, only Chicago has one solely for police victims. Jan Russell, a civilian, heads the unit, which is housed in a secret location. Conversations with victims are, by law, confidential.
We're able to say to a victim, if you don't want to cooperate with the department, that's okay. You can still talk to us and find out what your rights are. At some point in time, you're prepared to talk to the department. You know, we can assist you with that, but it's not a requirement for receiving services. So it allows some victims to come forward and talk about safety issues and then make some informed decisions about what they want to do.
While maximizing victim safety, the department works with abusers. Russell says if officers believe they can keep their job if they stop the abuse, they often do. If they're fired, there may be fewer constraints on their behavior. Russell says if abuse continues, though, she can move very quickly to get an officer arrested and into custody, if that's what's warranted. But always, she says, the victim's safety must come first. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.